Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Yo!
Happy Friday night as we are in the middle of what could be the final game in the Clippers season and a long offseason in L.A. basketball. The Mavericks lead the Clippers right now 41-34. It's still early. There's 5.5 to go in the first half. We'll be keeping a close eye on this game all night tonight. It is the only NBA game of the night, and clearly so many steaks are out there. Steaks.
I feel like a steak now. Guys, forget it. We're not getting pizza. We're getting steaks.
I feel like every day, it's if Team X loses, they're going to blow it up
and start over,
right?
Yes!
The Blazers lose, we're blowing it up and we're starting over. Hey, the Lakers lost, we're blowing it up and we're starting over. What if the Clippers lose? We're blowing it up and we're starting over. It's like every night there's, do we advance or do we blow it up? It could be a potential explosion every night here in the NBA playoffs.
Well, that's the beauty of it, though, is the expectations within the city so high, right? A kind of odd regular season, a number of injuries, teams, though, that went on big runs and just said, if we just get healthy, right? That was the whole Lakers thing. If we have LeBron and AD, if this, if that. Well, no, it didn't work. Likewise, the Clippers, if playoff P is there. Well, he's there sometimes, and other times he's just winging the ball to the opponent just because. With Portland, it's can you get another guy to show up? But that's a whole other conversation. Like they're different. And then you've got the Knicks. I keep hearing the promo and I'm like, I just keep screaming. It's like they're not one player away. Where's not, my part?
Listen.
They're not one player away.
A,
it's a bald-faced lie.
A, we're not blowing it up. B, we are one star player away. We're Bradley Beal away. Yeah. We're one of those players away. We're Kawhi Leonard away. We're away. That's one player away. That's all we need.
You're out of your mind.
That's all we need, man.
But either way, I mean, that's where we're at. We put everybody into three buckets. And the blow it up one is the most fun to talk about on Sports Talk Radio, of course. I mean, because think of all of the narratives that we got to do right as the game ended yesterday, as LeBron pouted and yelled at the referee and didn't go back down the court, gave up on his teammates, throwing the ball into the fourth row, all of those things. We had that and AD and all the narratives that you heard, well, echoed later on today. You know what I think? It's like, no, we thought it. We put it out. And here we are 24 hours later. And we'll do the same once the Clippers lose this game.
This could be it. We could see everybody blowing it all up anywhere you want to go. We're going to blow it up. This is what's happening.
All the Seattle really memes are coming back.
Yeah. Hey, look, everybody, we're going to move teams. Not only are we going to blow up teams, we're going to move them. They're going to move all be in different cities. That's what's going to happen now.
It's so bad you can't even show your face in that city anymore.
Yeah, it's so bad we're moving the team. We are. That's what we got to do right now. We are 100% moving the team. So right now, again, it's a close game. It's 41-37. Clippers down with about 5.5 to go in the first quarter, in the second half, second quarter, rather. And here's the thing, because that is what is at stake for the Clippers tonight, because this is now the second year with Kawhi and Paul George where it was worse than the first year, right? You're talking about a team that redid their roster and seemed to figure things out, and here they are tanking at the end of the year to avoid the Lakers. Now it's, boy, we should have played against the Lakers and not played against the Mavericks, and it really is that close to being blown up. But before we get there, I want to tell you, I'm gonna coach the Clippers and tell them how to win this game. Because there's one thing that I have seen throughout this first round that the Clippers have not done. So I could do a great job coaching the Clippers right now, because something that I have not seen
is it the thing they finally did today?
What's that? What were you going to say?
Well, defensively.
Oh, defensively. It's making sure that, and so far they've sent him to the free throw line a few times, but they have not been nearly physical enough with Luka Doncic. They have allowed him to do whatever he wants to do on offense. The last game he took 37 shots, went to the free throw line 3 times. Yep. No, you can't. For a guy that's struggling at the free throw line, and yes, he's made him tonight, the guy is under 50% in this playoff round. How do you allow him to create and move all over the court? The Clippers have played extremely soft this entire series, okay? You go back through the games, game 5 through game 1, 24 shots, 5 free throws, all right? 29 shots, 7 free throws. 24 shots, 7 free throws. He's got to go to the free throw line a lot. You got to hit him and make him uncomfortable, because that's what you do to a player that is controlling the game the way he does. And you know what happens when you start hitting him? He starts complaining to the ref.
This is
right.
And
you get him outside of his game.
Yep.
Because that's one thing he does when he gets hit. Not that any player doesn't like getting hit, but you really take him out of his comfort zone. Then he starts complaining, and he's not the same guy. The Clippers have been so soft this entire round, and Luka Doncic is walking around going, don't say anything. Don't say anything. Don't fire him up. I got him where I want them. 37 shots, and I went to the free throw line 3 times. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. And this is a guy that goes in the lane. This is a guy that does everything. He's all over the court, and the Clippers basically allow him with kid gloves to go wherever you want to. Now, I'm not saying you got to go all, you know, bad boy Pistons on them and say, hey, this guy, you put his head in the dirt. No. But you got to make sure you bang him around a bit and say, you want to come into the paint? This is a man's league, and you're going to earn it. And so far, they have just allowed him to do it and not earn it. And that's been the biggest thing. The Clippers continue to do it a little bit tonight because, look, they're in the game right now, and they've sent Luka to the free throw line a few times. Okay, but this has to be an entire game thing. This can't be one of those, well, we'll do it here in the first half, then we'll get into something else. They need to be on Luka, and they need to wear him down the entire game, and they haven't done that to that point in the series.
Yeah, 3 of the free throws came on a contested three-pointer, contested also, whether it's all count just the same. And then you look at, to start the game at least, you saw Kawhi Leonard finally switch onto him, right, and try to pick him up. Now, they've gone away from that. As this game's gone on, but at least you saw that look to start things, you know, since the guy's supposed to be the best defensive player, right? The claw, all of those things mm-hmm. that we've been told. You kept waiting for it, and finally, you think in an act of desperation, you know, season on the line, 3-2 and all that stuff, that perhaps you'd make him work harder on the defensive end. And I don't know, maybe Paul George could pick up the other part of that whole streetlights against spotlights thing and do his part. Maybe? Am I asking for too much?
You're going back to that, and I think every time the Clippers hear that streetlights versus spotlights, they go, ooh, yeah.
They spent all that money, and then they spent all that money on stars.
Yeah.
And then they still tried to put that crap banner and billboards and all of that stuff that made no sense. Like, you just bought 2 of the top 10 players in the NBA, and you were still trying to sell that you're this scrappy, grinded-out team. Which nobody was buying. And it hasn't worked either.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. You know, but what do I know? I'm just a guy in the studio, but I know one thing. I'm watching Luka Doncic just do whatever the hell he wants to, and the Clippers try to go up and down and match them, and they can't. So
sure.
Something has to change, right? You can't just keep going along the strategy and go, this is how it's going to work for us. No, you have to make sure that if he's doing it all by himself, which he has been, okay, well then you make him work and you exhaust him and you body him and you get him out of it. That's what you have to do. I mean, look, why did the Hawks beat the Knicks? Because they made Julius Randle really uncomfortable. They threw guys at him. He didn't know what to do. Do I shoot? Do I pass? He was really hesitant. He was awful the first few games of the series. Took him a while to figure it out. By the time he did, it's 3-1 and the series is over. All right, this is what you do to stars when they're controlling things. Hey, we're going to make you uncomfortable. And it's a different thing for different teams. For the Hawks, it was just, you know, putting different looks at Randle to make sure, you know, hey, I don't really know what I see, or I don't know what to do with the ball here. I'm a little indecisive. But for Luka Doncic, it's this guy's just roaming the floor, man. And it's the equivalent of when guys are digging in against you and you're on the mound, you know, that's when you throw a high hard one that backs them off the plate a little bit, going, you're not getting really comfortable with us. You're not throwing at the guy, but you're saying, hey, you're not going to step in here and just start swinging from the heels. You know, the Clippers need something like that. They need a couple of hard fouls. They need to make sure Luka gets up and starts yelling at the referees for whatever he wants to get into. And if they do that, they're going to find their level of success is going to be great. Now, like I said, he's been to the free throw line already 5 times tonight when he's averaging about 5. So I like to think that maybe the Clippers are going to keep doing it. But, you know, look, right now I'm seeing Doncic still go up and down the floor. And and it's a basket for basket. They're trading him, and that's not going to win it for the Clippers.
You know what's funny though is you just changed the name of the star. This is your Tom Brady take. Just make him uncomfortable. And he starts complaining. And then he starts yelling at his teammates. That's exactly what you just did.
It's what he does. It's what Tom Brady does.
How about that? You just made Luka Doncic the GOAT. 877-99 on Fox. Look at that. He has been elevated to greatness.
Hey, listen, Tom Brady. Hey, look, Tom Brady has gone to great lengths the last few days to let us know how bad his knee was this year. Hey, I won the Super Bowl, and boy, my knee, I really had problems with it. There was about 45 stories about, you know, Brady really played. It was a really tough year for him with his knee. Wanted to make sure we know that hey, all the talk about Brady, is he still as great? Hey, he played with a real, you know, this knee was a thing last year. Ooh, okay, just make sure we know that.
Well, we always want to know in the postscript.
There's no such thing as a good excuse for not buckling up. Law enforcement are writing tickets, so why take the risk? Do the smart thing and start buckling up every trip, day or night. Click it or ticket, paid for by NHTSA. So we'll keep you updated on this game. And again, it is still a 43-42 lead for the Mavericks, about 2.5 to go before halftime. Meanwhile, speaking of the NBA, following the Lakers' defeat last night, which we spent a lot of time on the Lakers' postmortem, the odds on the Suns to win the NBA title have gone way up. The odds on the Suns heating up, TJ, to win the title. They went from a 60-1 long shot to an 8-1 contender to win the title in a week. This is a team that was the number 2 seed in the West, and they were 60-1, and now they are 8-1, and sports books are panicky because the money that went down when the Phoenix Suns were long shots, now, oh my God, we beat the Lakers and look at where we are. But here's the thing. They're favorites over the Nuggets right now. I'll tell you this much. The Suns, you know, bookmakers, you don't have to worry. The Suns are not going to beat the Nuggets.
My Nuggets.
All right? They're not going to beat the Nuggets. This should have been a Lakers win, but Anthony Davis wasn't healthy. Anthony Davis is the one player that the Suns couldn't match up against. Anthony Davis was passive in the first game, and then he got hurt, and it still was a somewhat close series. The Suns are not a great team. They're not. The Suns are a great player, and they're a really good point guard who has figured out a way to be aggressive and to contribute at 36. But this is not a deep team. This is a team that should have lost to the Lakers. They didn't really play great in the first round. Devin Booker had the one great game to knock out the Lakers, which was a great game. But this Nuggets team has proven, even without Jamal Murray, we're going to roll through you. Michael Porter Jr. has stepped up today saying, hey, I'm the number 2 right now. Nikola Jokic is unstoppable. Okay, the Suns had no plan for Anthony Davis. How are they going to play better against Jokic? They're not. The big men defense on them is awful. And Jokic is one of those do-it-all big men who's going to get underneath and he's going to facilitate the offense. He's going to get his points. Look, I told you in the bubble that we are nearing the era of the Jazz and the Nuggets in the Western Conference. It's coming. Now, I thought it was about a year or two away because the teams need a little bit more seasoning and the Lakers would still be really good with AD and LeBron coming off the championship. So I said, okay, maybe that's a year or two away. But that era is here. I fully expect Utah and Denver in the Western Conference Finals, regardless as to who wins this series with the Clippers and the Mavericks, because they're both playing at a really high level. The Jazz have the most stars left per team. Okay, so you look at all the superstars. I tell you, it's a superstar playoff in the NBA. The Jazz have the most superstars. We forget, you know, hey, they won games. Donovan Mitchell was out. Donovan Mitchell is a phenomenal player, and it's not going to be popular to see Utah and Denver, but that's who I expect to see. And the era of both of these teams, because you have the young players locked in for long term, they're here now. And, you know, Phoenix is a nice story, but if they give the Nuggets a series, I'm stunned. I expect to walk out of this going, okay, Western Conference Finals, man, Jazz and the Nuggets. Boy, we could see the Jazz and the Bucks in the NBA Finals here, and suddenly everybody is going, oh, what about the television ratings? But really, the
screw the television ratings. Those will be fun games.
The era of the Jazz and the Nuggets is here. Again, I said it a few months ago. It's just a little bit ahead of time, but that's who's going to play in the Conference Finals.
Look at you, moving ahead all together. Look, we talked about it last night. We'll have Bernie Fratto on later on in the show, final hour, talking about all things odds and shifts and, well, how much money are we talking here, right? Because we had the stat yesterday. The Lakers made up 45% of all Western Conference winning bets. So that's a lot. That's a very happy weekend for the sports books. You talk about that liability being off the table. You wipe your brow and say, okay, now take out the Clippers, and we have even more money. So you have that rolling for you. So I like what Utah did. You mentioned the couple of the stars. You look at what Gobert is. You look at Jordan Clarkson, some slow starts, but big finishes. And the Suns are fun. But, you know, I picked the Nuggets to go to the finals. And if this game goes Mavericks' way, I'm the last man alive in the Fox Sports Radio post bracket, at least on that side. The other one is crashing and burning all around.
Right. Yeah.
Well, because I went for the upset. Right.
I'm great in the East. We would have had a perfect bracket because I am great in the East and awful in the West. And you are great in the West and awful in the East. Between the two of us, we had one really great Fox Sports Radio bracket.
Well, and just look at the fact that most of your teams that were playing deep into the bubble, they ain't playing anymore. Bad job by me.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. The era of the Jazz and the Nuggets in the West is here. The good news is your business doubled. The even better news is Indeed can help you hire the right people without the wait times of the typical recruiting process. The even better news is I haven't done my Marv Albert impression yet. That's because Indeed has a great hiring platform where you can make calls, schedule virtual interviews, and talk to candidates over video right from your easy-to-use employer dashboard. It's just another reason Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all the other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Find your next great hire at Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Coming up next, we got more NBA, but is the big quarterback derby we thought we were going to see this summer now basically settled after news today? That's coming up next right here on Fox. You thought you could escape. You could not. Timeout Alex Tyshirt. He wants to talk it over and get a new song off his Spotify.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Clippers have a big run at the end of the second quarter. They lead the Mavericks 48-45, and wouldn't you know it, as we talked about it, Clippers are going a little bit more at Luka defensively, just like we said they had to. See, I told you, coming off that last game, they're too soft on Luka, and now they're doing stuff for him. And now, look, the Clippers have a lead. I could be head coach of the Clippers, Mike Harmon. Forget about Tyler. They should look further down the bench and go, you know, that radio guy, he's really good. He knows what he's talking about.
Well, since they didn't like what was going on the bench last year, the fact that they chose someone that was, I mean, he must have been able to hide behind Doc Rivers or something. Yeah. Hey, wait, that guy was really on our staff? Did you know that?
Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover is accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. That's discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations, they do apply. Well, joining us now on the hotline, could we have a sham quarterback derby on the way? We thought we were going to get an honest and legit quarterback derby. Maybe not. Our guest is the editor-in-chief of Fansided.com. He is a longtime NFL insider, and he is, as of this moment, still a Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. It is Pete Prisco. Pete, welcome to the... Oh, sorry, it's Jason Cole. Cole with us right now. Because I know he's going to come on and do his Pete Prisco impression.
Wow. No.
I thought you were going to do your Pete Prisco. You love doing it. I thought you were going to do it.
Yeah, I was actually thinking that the guy who did the ads for the WWE SmackDown, was that what it was or something like that? Was before you guys came back and started jabbering or whatever you guys do.
Open mouth, say things. Yeah.
SmackDown. Like he's doing that. It reminded me of my childhood with, I don't know, you guys remember the ads for like the Ontario Motor Speedway way back in the day?
Oh, sure.
Like, oh, yeah. It was like Shirley, Cha Cha, Muldowney, you know.
Sunday, race fans.
Sunday, yes. Ontario Motor Speedway, be there. You know, like it just reminded me of that. Big Daddy, Don Garlitz. You know, like that's my childhood right there. And, you know, the funny thing is that now that I live in Florida, the Don Garlitz Museum is less than an hour away from me. It's right off of I-75.
Wow. I can't believe you haven't done a show from there.
Well, who says I haven't?
He's 89 years old and still kicking in Tampa, Florida. Let's go!
All right.
It's kind of, the museum is like a barn by the side of the road. It's kind of sad.
It doesn't need to be much when your name's Big Daddy.
Big Who Daddy wants to dance Don with the Carlos. Devil in the middle of the day? Sunday.
Surely. I used to, cha-cha, ball downy.
I used to always confuse Big Daddy Don Garlits with Don Kirshner and Don Kirshner's rock concert, which was always on like after SNL.
I used to always confuse the two of them. Yeah. That was the best. Don Kirshner's rock concert. And that's the first time I think I ever saw Parliament Funkadelic. I think that's the first time.
Nice.
Like I was like blown away going, what is this? This is awesome. So, anyways, what were we talking about? Was it sports? I can't remember. Oh,
sports.
Man, I'm telling you about this guy.
All right, so here, look, obviously the big story
Tim Tebow
today.
Can't play. He should be caught.
That's wow. I didn't know you had such a big Pete Prisco impression until the last time we spoke.
Oh, I've been working on it. So
that's good. Like my Jerry Jones.
I love Pete. Pete's the best because Pete just he just shoots straight from the hip and he just doesn't care. He just like. And Pete on Twitter is just a gem. He really is. Like, it's like, you're blocked. I hate you. You're scum. It gets right to the point. That's all.
All right, so the point with today, we watched Cam Newton have his throwing hand examined by the training staff after he got hurt, didn't participate in the rest of practice. This coincides with Bill Belichick answering questions about Mac Jones and being very glowing about him, saying, hey, he's picking things up really well. He's doing everything you want to do. I look at this and I go, this is going to be the biggest quarterback derby, sham derby that I've ever seen. As long as Mac Jones continues to just play okay, he's going to be the starter and it's going to happen sometime early in the preseason.
Okay, wow, that's some great analysis there.
Hot takes. Let's go.
Wow, this is almost as good as your hot take on Luka Doncic. Oh, they're going to defend him. Yeah, he scored 42 the other night. Yeah.
Well, it's better than your Pete Prisco impression.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, it's a little bit. Who played the Penguin? Was it Burgess Meredith?
Yeah. Yes, Burgess Meredith was playing. Then Danny DeVito.
Yeah, right. It's a little bit. Pete Prisco is really a little bit like the Penguin from. The bat from the Adam West Batman series. That's what he really is. Mm, if you think about it, it's very close. It's very close.
All right.
So that's and I'm channeling that. As for Cam Newton, okay, look, the under over on Cam Newton on games played is what 4.5 this year.
Yeah, it's probably fair. Yeah,
I'll take the under.
Right. Yeah, I'd be really tempted to take the under. Of course, Mac Jones is going to be the guy. And sooner than later, because they need to get to that solution of who is the quarterback long-term and is this the guy who can carry you to a Super Bowl. And I think the conclusion pretty strongly already is that Cam Newton's not an accurate enough thrower to carry you to a Super Bowl. And they need to get into the playoffs this year, right? Like, they need to show that they've got something. Now, the one game that you might not want to have Mac Jones be in is the game against Brady in Tampa, right? So that October game, like that might be the game that you're like, maybe we'll keep him away from that.
And a mysterious hand injury this week suddenly has landed Mac Jones on the questionable list. Oh, he may not play on Sunday. Oh, okay. Well, we'll have to keep an eye on that as things go on.
We're
never getting any information.
In fact, it's so bad, he may not even be in the stadium.
All right, let's stay with rookie quarterbacks. Go to my hometown where Andy Dalton is still convinced he's QB1.
QB1! This is my favorite story of the offseason now.
QB1, Andy Dalton. Oh, God. Hold on. Just remember those Cincinnati days, Andy. You know, just remember, those were the salad days of your career. And that really is a telling statement about your career when you can say that the Bengals were your salad days, right? Like, that's enough about your career. Yeah, look, It's Justin Fields. The only thing I worry about with Justin Fields is not him, it's the guys around him, because they just don't have any weapons, right? So is it going to be the same thing that they've had going on for years, which is whoever plays quarterback is going to be limited by the fact that nobody around him can make a big-time play, right? Is that what we're looking at?
Sure.
Well, yeah, I would say you're wishing.
Here comes the Bears fan. No. Yeah, let me talk. You get the rest of the
You asked it. Wasn't supposed to be a rhetorical question and just sit up there?
You called me. I'm the one who's talking now, okay? I just sense like the resignation from the Bears fan of like, yeah, we don't have anybody. So maybe we should play Andy Dalton until we get some people around Justin Fields. That would be kind of wise. Hopefully the Bears will understand for the first time in, I don't know, 70 years how to build around a quarterback. That would be nice. Well, but you know, 70 years is a long time, and it's generally a trend. Let's just put it that way.
Well, and swirling in the background is the idea that the McCaskey-Hallis family might actually sell the team. And there you go. Good times.
To who? Why?
When Amazon buys the NBA and the NFL at the same time.
Well, that would be nice.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to be, they're going to spend $200 billion to buy two leagues.
and it's not going to be anything. It'll be a drop in the bucket. Yeah, we'll just buy both of these leagues. Here's $200 billion. We're good.
Here's a rounding error.
it's NBA like an office space. We're just going to take a third of every penny. There's a lot of money missing.
The funny part is that, as funny as that sounds, like Apple could actually do that, and it would almost be a rounding error. Like, what do they have, like $1.3 trillion in cash or something like that? What are we going to do today? Yeah, let's just buy the NFL. That's good. Yeah, we can pay them in cash. Just give them the cash. Tim Cook is over there. Yeah, how many trucks do we need to send them the cash? Are we good? Yeah, thanks.
Hey, if something happens, just send a new truck. It's okay. We'll replace it. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be a line of Brinks trucks that, stretch from here to New York. But yes, it'll be we got it. We got it covered. We're good. Can we do an electronic payment? Can we Venmo you the money, Roger?
First thing you see is the football change. Instead of the laces, it's the Amazon, it's the smile with the arrow, and that's going to be the new laces of the football.
Not a bad move.
There you go. It's
branding. Branding. Yeah, and then they'll have something for a what's that grocery store chain that they're on? Which one is it called? One that I never buy any food from. What is it called?
Amazon's grocery store? I don't know. They have the Fresh grocery store, right? Whole Foods. Yeah, Whole Foods.
Yeah, Whole Foods. Yeah, they own Whole Foods, right? So, yeah, there's going to be a Whole Foods ad. Instead of the Roger Goodell signature on every ball or the commissioner signature on every ball, it's just going to say Whole Foods.
And instead of people in the stand selling, popcorn and stuff, it's just the big salad tray where you're making
it's going to say WFL on the side, and everybody's going to like the traditionalists go World Football League. It's the Whole Foods League.
Drones flying everywhere to drop stuff at your seat.
Wait, it's the Whole Foods Lombardi Trophy. Yeah, we're changing the name of it. Yes, that's what it is.
Yeah, we've got like double healthy meringue. We don't want that. No, that's not what we want. We want the loaded chips. We don't want your like 62% cocoa, whatever the heck that is. No, that's not what we want.
And this touchdown brought to you by Cheese Displays, as we like to say it. He's on Twitter at JasonCole62.
The $5 navel orange that we got before Janet does.
At Jason Cole 62, that is at Jason Cole 62, NFL Insider, Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. Check out the book, Elway, A Relentless Life, available in bookstores everywhere and on Amazon. You can get it there.
Exactly.
You know, before
exactly.
Amazon changes the title. You never know. It could change it.
Or before Jeff Bezos has me killed, whatever that happens.
Whoa.
So, there we go.
Wow. That escalated quickly.
Wow.
Later.
Thanks a bunch, J. Cole. Appreciate it.
I don't even know what to say to that.
I don't know. I didn't know. Suddenly, Jeff Bezos is now is wanted in a that's a funny thing about Amazon, because we've had the big story this week that Amazon is pursuing Al Michaels for their Thursday Night Football slot, and they're getting ready to spend a lot of money. And Amazon, you know, all the stuff from this week, they're doing the right thing. Amazon has decided, all right, we're not going to come through here and say we have the rights to TNF starting next year, so we're going to have like seven different broadcasts. We're going to have a gambling angle. We're going to have a kids angle. No, they want to say we're going to put traditional NFL broadcasts out there because we want you to take us seriously. And that's the right thing. It's the same thing Fox did when they first got the NFL in 1994. I mean, because, you know, growing up, the people growing up now that are, you know, millennials are like, well, Fox has always had the NFL. No, CBS and NBC always had the NFL. Fox was like, they were never even close. And suddenly they come up with a huge bid that was billions and billions of dollars over what NBC bid. And suddenly, Fox got the NFC, and it was such a big deal in 1995. It was, oh my God, what's Fox going to do? Is it going to be Mulder and Scully hosting games? And they're going to be announcing.
Hey, look, it's Ed O'Neill.
And
fumbled.
And Fox did the right thing by saying, we're getting all the big football guys. We're getting Terry Bradshaw. We're taking it seriously.
The biggest thing they did was
put a bug in the corner of the score. And I remember, as a guy working at ESPN in production, everybody universally hated that. We hated the bug in the corner that always told you the score and the time of the game. It was awful. It took so long to get used to. It was, I can't stand that. It's distracting. It's all. Now, can you imagine watching a game where the score is not on there? Where you don't know the seconds as they're ticking down. You don't know what the score is. You don't know anything. Like, can you imagine not having that? Just having a blank screen going, what's the score? I don't know. It's not up there.
I'd have to keep looking down at a computer screen, my iPad, or my phone, which you're probably doing for your fantasy team anyway.
That was the biggest thing was that, oh my God, this bug is horrible. And now it's like, oh my God, that was such a groundbreaking idea that now all sports have it. And it was Fox's idea in 95 to say, this is what we do. But they did the right thing. Hey, we want you to take us seriously. And right away, Fox got it. They were serious players, and they've had the NFC ever since. Same thing with Amazon now. They want Al Michaels. They want the production team. They want everything else. They want to say, we're going to give you an NFL broadcast. You're just going to see it someplace else. They're doing it the right way. They're not saying, hey, let's put it like Nickelodeon and have this and have a slime thing. No. It's we're going to do a broadcast. You're going to watch the NFL. You're just going to watch it with us. Great way to do it.
Yeah, note to self, just really quick, with the J. Cole thing, I shouldn't have gone with Bears ownership. I should have asked about the Chargers. Note for next week.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Right now in the National Basketball Association. 5.5 to go in the third quarter. The Mavericks have jumped back out in front of the Clippers, 67-60. We'll have more on this game coming up in about 10 minutes. But speaking of the NBA, there's that big narrative going around today that, hey, the NBA playoffs without LeBron James, they're in trouble. And then there's the counter theory that, well, with no LeBron James, this opens up the possibility of new stars showing up and taking over the television. And I'll tell you what, that is not going to happen. All right, the NBA is just like the PGA Tour with Tiger Woods. LeBron is the NBA. Tiger Woods is the PGA Tour. When Tiger Woods is not in contention, hey, what does that mean? Other players are all out there and we're going to see other big names. No, people don't watch. Oh, Tiger's not playing. I don't care. And the same is true for the NBA. Even though LeBron is not the same guy, we told you last night, that was last night was a night everybody sees He's old. He doesn't have that extra gear anymore, and if he doesn't have players around him, he's not going to win anymore. He's just not the same guy. He's too old. He's not as explosive as he was. He can't summon up 45-point nights like he used to. He just can't. But he's still the draw. And without LeBron, yeah, that's what the NBA playoffs are going to be. If you're winding up with a conference finals of the Bucks and the Sixers and the Jazz and the Nuggets, good luck. You know, that's going to be a hardcore NBA playoffs the rest of the way. It's going to be for the hardcore fans because, well, I like Luka Doncic. Yeah, okay, so do I. But, you know, Luka Doncic isn't getting everybody the television like LeBron does because it's LeBron James. Doesn't matter if he's Cleveland. Doesn't matter if he's Miami. Doesn't matter if he's L.A. He's LeBron James. And even you look at the Nets. I mean, that's why the NBA is rubbing their lucky rabbit's foot right now going, please, Nets, get to the finals so we can have KD and Kyrie and James Harden stories. Please get to the finals. Please get there. But not even these three do what LeBron James does. So, yes, other players are going to get their share of the spotlight, but it's not as big. All right? Less people will care. It's still LeBron's league. Even with his politics, which are dividing, it doesn't matter. The playoffs will be for hardcore and hardcore fans because people love to hate LeBron. Just like the Yankees, they love to hate them, but then when they're out of the playoffs, oh, I kind of miss LeBron. I kind of miss the Yankees. That's the reality for the NBA.
Well, and I think that's one of the narratives that we've watched sport to sport is trying to figure out the ebb and flow and new viewing habits and capturing that data as best you can, right? Are people just checking in? Are they worried only about the quick highlights that they get off their phones, right, and little video montages? No longer in the highlight at the end of the night, but live and in living color. All right, let's summarize what just happened versus sitting down and watching a full game. That's not just basketball. We have the same complaints from everybody about baseball and pace of play and all of that fun. The NFL is a juggernaut, but even that has its schedule quirks at times that I was like, all right, nobody's going to watch that game. It's still going to be higher than everything else, but it's all on a relative. You're comparing it to itself. Right, versus other sports, and certainly against other network television at this point. Live sports still wins the day every time and twice on Sunday. But the new world order, no Steph, no LeBron, and obviously, you know, we take it back when you look at finals and champions. You've got the Lakers and what Kobe Bryant was to the game, that you've got to start nursing and building these new stars and maybe you can get some of the folks on board. And I'm curious, you know, whenever we start talking younger numbers and demographics and their sport, you know, how they keep building and how you really capture that international data. That's the big question in all of this.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Coming up next, we got another big story out of the NBA where one superstar now has to go to restart his career. That's next, Fox.
LeBron James.